We have blasted off. The countdown has happened. Good to see everybody tonight. How y'all doing? Doing okay? Good. Good to see everybody. Good to be here this evening. And for those who don't know, we now have a YouTube channel and Calvary Baptist Church, Powder Springs, Georgia. Check it out. Subscribe. Of course, you don't have to, but we'd like for you to build up our following. But Brother Randy and I believe Brother Jeff had a hand in that too, just kind of working together. So that's exciting, just kind of expanding our outreach, our influence. So that's great. But good to be here tonight. Good to see everybody. And we've got a rise in temperature coming. And so I hope everybody's ready for that. I believe it's going to be in the 90s through the rest of the week. It is summertime, so that's to be expected. That's okay. Has anybody been listening to all the shark sightings down in Panama City, Florida? There are all over the news media just schools and schools of sharks. And some people have commented and said, well, yeah, I guess so. It's the ocean. There's going to be sharks in the ocean. But some of these shark sightings have been like really near the shore. It showed a bull shark, like a 10-foot bull shark, went up, swam into 2 inches of water, flopped around, trying to catch a fish, and then went back out to the ocean. 10-foot bull shark. Oh, hammerheads. I normally tease, yeah, for sure. I normally tease Christy when we're down there, and I go way out there in the water, and I even sometimes throw my hands up like something's happening. And but I told her, I said, if we were down there right now, there'd be no teasing with this thing. I said, I wouldn't even be in the water. But anyway, again, it's that time of year and weird things happen in the ocean and it being warm and all. But let's remember everybody that's down there on the Emerald Coast, as they say. But anyway, let's jump right into things tonight. And how you like the hallway this evening? All the decorations, everything's coming along. Southern Living Magazine right there, CBC, Powder Springs, Georgia. And very proud of that, and so proud of how things are coming along around here. And again, just in case anybody is wondering, these funds have came from fundraisers and people's donations. And so it just goes to show you that you love your church, and we love you as well and appreciate that. No plans of slowing down, and got talent show fundraiser coming up soon, and probably another fundraiser, I'm sure two or three actually. And maybe somewhere around fall time, making our way in the sanctuary, just kind of freshening things up a little bit to make the job complete. So looking forward to that. All right. Let's, a few people I want you to remember in prayer, if you would. Got a call last night from Leonard Palmer and Dolores. She actually fainted on Monday. They were by the lake. Leonard was outside, family was outside of the camper, and they were getting ready to cook some hot dogs, and all of a sudden they heard just a loud thump, a loud noise, and Dolores had passed out and hit her head. And she stayed overnight in Rome Hospital. And so, but I called and checked on her today through Brother Leonard, and they released her. They've done all the scans and x-rays, so she's doing good on that. They're really not sure about why she fainted. They're doing some blood work right now to figure that out. But I tell you, you just never know. There's times within this year that I've been on my health kick, that periods of time where I would just get up and I would feel dizzy. I'd have to hang on to something. I mean, just as recent as last week. So sometimes for me, it's blood pressure related. Sometimes it's a touch of just low sugar. But you know, we just got to know our bodies and deal with it. But so let's remember the Palmers, if we would, tonight. And Miss Diane Ely, she went today for a doctor's consultation on back surgery. And they said, talked to Randy Ely by text message today, and they said that they're not sure if her bones can hold the screws in that well. And so what they're doing is they're trying some other methods to help her back out. And so I told them that we would mention them in prayer tonight. because she's supposed to have back surgery and all, the same kind Brother Snyder had, same doctor, same surgeon, and so, but let's remember them. And heard from Miss Carla Rich. Her brother, Don, is Tanner Medical, Villa Rica, Leland. And he actually, from what I hear, medics came. He actually, like, died, and they resuscitated him back to life. And is he in an induced coma? Is that what that is? He's in an induced coma, so Tanner Medical in Villa Rica. So let's remember Miss Carla Rich's brother, Don. Let's remember Don and Carla themselves. I know that things are a little different now since I believe it was Pastor Juan that passed away, I want to say, a while back. But Miss Carla just said that they've been busy, been going here, going there, just trying to get things in place, trying to fill gaps and all. So let's remember them over there in Peru. Let's remember all of our missionaries, foreign and home missions. And let's remember our children's home tonight, staff and children. James and Shirley Townsend, Trill Norton, his friend Bill Zimmerman with cancer, Miss Claudia Darby. I tried to call her. I believe she went last week to the doctor for some tests. I missed her call this week, and so I try to get back in touch with her, but let's remember her in prayer if we could. And Connie Norton, of course, that's Trill's wife, heart issues. The Daly's, the Ashworths, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, McCrickers, Joyce Manning, James Tolan Brown, the Marines, Kevin Brook, Champion Christian College. And actually, I've got Kevin, not this Sunday night because we're not having church because of Father's Day, but next Sunday night, I got Brother Kevin bringing the message downstairs. And so remember him. And then the following Sunday is Youth Sunday, Brother Brian, Brother CJ, the youth. And so we're getting filled up here. Looking ahead a little bit, talked with Stephen Sapp, and they're going to be here, I believe, July the 21st on a Sunday, and I got Brother Stephen preaching for me that morning because we're actually going to be coming out of our VBS, and so I'll be focusing on that, and then that Sunday night after Stephen preaches that morning, we'll have our commencement ceremonies, and so just keeping things full and keeping things moving. But anyway, let's just remember all those things. And again, Father's Day weekend coming up, Sunday morning service, no Sunday night. Every father gets two pies this coming up Sunday morning. Pies for the guys. And I may sneak a third pie, I don't know. But anyway, looking forward to that. And Miss Terry making those pies. All right, we'll open up the floor. Maybe if someone has a prayer request, a praise. Miss Glenda. Jay Love, how about that? And who is this to you? Sounds like a radio station, Jay Love. You say nephew? Great nephew, okay. Let's remember this. also continue to remember Connie Teague's nephew, Dustin, who is miraculously recovering from his fall. Anybody else? Lee Ellen? Jenica? Brother Don, you got a hand up? Sure. Someone else have a hand up? That's on? Excellent. Good, good. Good deal. Cassie? Remember Cassie's uncle, Uncle Owen. It's been good having your brother and your brother's fiance, girlfriend.
Yeah, he called me back late Sunday night. He goes, I love your church. He said, he's a pastor, he's so sweet, and we'll be back. So we're
going to
be back this Sunday.
Good. It's like third Sunday in a row. Yeah.
So maybe with Carlene,
Well, what's neat about that is I've met your brother before, you know, over when we was getting our house built. We lived with Miller and Judy for about 3 months off Purdy Drive, and her, Cassie's brother, lived across the street. But then his girlfriend, her daughter, Dee, was actually Lily's kindergarten teacher at Youth. And so small world. And so that makes it a little more, you know, tight, you know, I guess I should say. I don't know. But I like that. That's neat. Appreciate them coming. Anybody else? All right. Well, let's just remember everybody on the prayer list and upcoming service on Sunday morning. Yeah, I haven't. I heard his back surgery went good. I have failed to check on him. I did hear from his secretary about getting a card over here to us. Thank you note for preaching, us having him preach Jubilee. So I imagine he's doing good because his secretary said they were talking about what went wrong on the address, getting the envelope here. But yeah, thank you for bringing that up. I'll give him a text this week. All right. Everybody else good? Okay. Well, let's all meet for a time of prayer like we normally do. If you want to come to the altar, you can, or you can pray where you're at. And then Brother Jeff will have a song for us. So, and then we'll bring the lesson.
Well, this time I brought the guitar and left the case at home. And I think it works a whole lot better that way. Just one second. Victory in Jesus. Okie dokie. Sorry about the disorganization tonight. Thought I had enough pockets. Okay, victory in Jesus. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory. I gave life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and he caught me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. Plant me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And someday Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all I love is due Him. He planted me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory, and I learned about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He planted me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Thank you, Brother Jeff. Again, it's good to be here tonight. I don't know about you, but I need a recharge. Midweek scramble. And this world is very draining, isn't it? And so I'm glad that we could come together, pray, and look into God's Word for a few moments here at midweek. So last Wednesday night, we looked at the doctrine of salvation. And I'm going to look at part two to that tonight. Last Wednesday night, we opened up by saying that when it comes to the study of salvation, that we need to learn that there are things that God saves both sinners and saints from. Salvation is not something which involves the lost sinner only, but also there are things that the saints must be saved from. And I think it's good, again, from time to time to go over some of these elementary things, fundamental truths of the Bible. And, you know, if you ask somebody, are you saved? Well, you either will say yes or no, but then if you think about it, what does saved mean? Well, in the Scriptures, the word save or saved or salvation, it actually can mean different things. And so we began talking about that last week. Now, salvation is a process, meaning which continues through the entire life of the believer. As you know, as well as I know, the moment a person is born again, they are eternally saved. But even after conversion, God continues to save us from sin's power and influence. And so I think it does us good from time to time to look into some of these things. Last week, we looked at the meaning of the word salvation. The meaning. And the word salvation means deliverance. It means to save, to preserve, to protect, or to make whole. And we looked at different instances where those words were used. Salvation can refer to being delivered from, as in Paul's case, from prison. We won't go back and read that verse, but in Philippians 1:19, he talks about that. Talks about my deliverance that's going to come from prison will come by your prayers and by the Spirit. And so salvation in some places means deliverance from a certain thing, a place. And we still need deliverance in our day. There are situations we find ourselves in, and we pray, God, would you please deliver me from this? Am I the only one that's ever prayed that? Lord, I need deliverance from this. God, I need you to either deliver me from this or deliver me in this. Either move the mountain or give me strength to climb it. And so there's places in the Bible where salvation can refer to deliverance from particular situations. And then we looked at Israel being saved from their enemies in Luke 1:68 through 71. Noah and his family were saved from the flood, Hebrews 11:7. And of course, the salvation of the soul from sin and eternal hell through trusting the redeeming grace of Jesus Christ is salvation, eternal security with the Lord. Acts 4:12 deals with that. Our text verse last week was Luke 2 in verse number 30. And we looked at the word, or the Bible says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. That word salvation in Luke 2:30, in the Greek it means soterion. And it's translated salvation. And it speaks of defense. And God not only saves us, but He defends us while we're here. And so we looked at the meaning of the word salvation, and then we looked at the means of salvation. Y'all excuse me one second. My mint didn't get done fast enough. The means of salvation. You know this as well as I do. Salvation is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we mentioned several verses. Don't even bother turning there. We're trying to just get caught up so we can start part two tonight. But in Exodus 14:13, the Bible says the salvation of the Lord. It mentions that phrase. Jonah 2:9 mentions that salvation is of the Lord. Isaiah 45:22, look unto me, speaking of the Lord, and be ye saved, saith the Lord. Many other verses we mentioned. 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came to save sinners. Titus 3:11, the grace of God brings salvation. And so the means of salvation is the Lord. Y'all forgive me again. My goodness, I need to be prepared for church, don't I? The means of salvation is the Lord. The meaning of the word salvation, deliverance to save, to preserve, to protect, to make whole. And we looked at that salvation can only come through the gospel. Romans 1:16 states that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. 1 Peter 1:23, the gospel is, God's word is the incorruptible seed that produces the new life. Romans 10:14, the gospel must also be preached for sinners to be saved. And so we've seen that salvation can only come through the gospel. Salvation, the means thereof is through Jesus, the gospel. And then we looked at the meaning. And then last week we stopped by looking at the many uses of the words salvation and saved. In particular, we looked at some things that the Christian is saved from. When we study the doctrine of salvation, we must understand there are different things that God saves us from. And I think that the normal, the status quo Christian, not being offensive here, not trying to offend, but the regular, the normal status quo Christian may not understand all that God has saved them from. So this is one of the importance of this study. And so last week we seen that the sinner or the lost person is saved from the penalty of sin. And we know that man is born a sinner under the wrath of God. The wages of sin is death, which speaks of the second death, which is a life eternally in hell, Romans 6:23. Those of us that are saved may die once, but we won't die twice. Those that are lost will die once, but they'll die twice, because eternity in hell is known as the second death. And so I pray we don't even die once. You know, I'm looking, as the preacher says, I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the upper taker. And so I'm looking for Jesus to come. We've all been through our own fair share of funerals and all of those things. And I'm just ready for the Lord to come back and rapture us out of here and forever be with Him. But until that day, we will keep on marching forward and presenting and sharing the gospel the best we can. And so there's the penalty of sin. We are saved from the penalty of sin. We looked at that the wrath of God is constantly upon the lost person. John 3:36. But the wrath of God is not upon the saved person. I love Romans 8 and verse number 1. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Right now, we are not condemned. We are free. Jesus answered it all on Calvary. And if Jesus were to take you tonight, if He were to take me tonight, if we were to die and we're saved, we will instantly go home to be with Him. There is no condemnation. That ought to make us excited. It ought to make us have a little spring in our step, knowing that God is not going to judge us like He's going to judge the world. And so Calvary answers for us. The sinner is saved from the penalty of sin. Not only God saves the sinner from the penalty of sin, but also the power of sin, and one day the presence of sin. The Lord daily saves us from the power of sin through the Word of God and the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God teaches us. The Word of God cleanses us. And ultimately, the Word of God transforms us. That's why Paul says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. I beg you, after God, everything God has done, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That is the most reasonable thing to do as a born-again believer, and that is to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Give ourselves to God daily and take our hands off of it. Verse number 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we looked at that we're saved from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, one day the presence of sin, and truly when we digest the Word of God, we are cleansed, we are taught, and we are transformed. And what a blessing that is to know. And so not only when it comes to many uses of the words salvation and saved, and God saves us from many things, we see that the sinner is saved from the penalty of sin, as again I said, power of sin, presence of sin one day. But then we looked into the sinner is saved through the rapture from the coming wrath of God. We won't get into all this tonight. We did last week. But we are saved from the wrath to come. We looked at that in detail last week. Paul speaks about that in 1 Thessalonians 1:10. He talks about we have been delivered. We have been saved from the wrath to come. That word saved means delivered. And there was some confusion about the Lord's return in amongst the Thessalonians. Some said that the Lord had already returned and you're left behind. You're going to go through the tribulation. And Paul begins to say, well, no, you aren't left behind. You aren't. The tribulation has not come yet. There must be a falling away first. And then the man of sin will be revealed. But we are saved from the wrath to come. So that word saved there means delivered. And that's a blessing to know that we don't have to go through the tribulational time period. Paul says that our salvation is nearer than we believed. Our deliverance is nearer than when we first believed. So we mentioned that the believer is saved from the future wrath of God, as I said, through the blood of Jesus. And so that brings us up to speed tonight. And I want to mention a few more things that we're saved from when it comes to the doctrine of salvation. We are saved from the snares of temptation. James chapter number 1, verse 21. The Bible says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, we're saved from the snares of temptation. The salvation in this passage speaks of the believer being saved from the power of temptation through the Word of God. If you notice, he's speaking to Christians here. James is. You back up in verse number 19. He says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, speaking to the brethren, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So he's talking about not succumbing to temptation here. When we study this entire passage, we find that, again, James is speaking to Christians, to fellow brothers and sisters, who must lay aside all sin and receive the Word of God, which brings salvation or deliverance. A person that has trusted Jesus as their Savior is already saved, but will continue to be delivered from sin's influence and power through the Word of God and the indwelling Spirit. So he mentions some things here. He says, lay apart all filthiness. He says that there's going to have to be some action on our part. We have got to not just lay aside all filthiness and these other things that he mentions, but he says, fill that void. Not just lay it aside, but replace it with the Word of God. You know, sometimes people who are trying to give up addiction, they will abandon one addiction, but if they don't replace it with something good, wholesome, and genuine and healthy for them, they'll just replace it with another addiction. So they may say, hey, I haven't drank alcohol in 5 years, but they replaced it with smoking pot, or they replaced it with doing other drugs. So we have to not just lay aside filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, but receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to deliver our souls. And James is speaking to brethren here. And so we are to replace sin in our life. We are to replace temptation when we want to yield to temptation with just digesting God's Word, embracing His promises, seeing what He said, fleshing it out. So we see that there. James chapter number 1 in verse 18. We're in James 1, look, verse 21, verse 18. James here is addressing those that are born again. If you notice, he says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. That word begat has to do and refers to the new birth. You'll read in the Bible, this one begat that one. This one begat that one. It speaks of giving birth to. So this is in reference to the new birth. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. It's the word of God that is embraced and digested that causes us to be born again. And so James is referring to Christians. Verse number 19, again, he says, brethren here. Verse number, backing up to verse number 13 through 15, James speaks of temptation or solicitation from the devil to do evil. Satan is always, always trying to entice us. He'll get quiet. He'll speak to you. He will tell you lies. The devil will try to get you to doubt, Selah. And he uses bait to do that. I had my fishing pole here the other day, the other Sunday. Man, I had that line perfect before I left the house. And I got to use that thing, and it was all bundled up at the end. That was so disappointing. So I spent a little more time in the tackle box showing off the little rubber worms that I love smelling. But he gets that bait, Brother Nettles, and throws it out there at you. Got you like that. And he has a bait for all of us, the devil does. But you see, we are saved and we can be saved from the snare. The word entice means to lure by bait. Verse number 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed or lured away by bait. Satan knows what it takes to lure the Christian away into sin. The word error in verse number 16. Look at that word, error. Do not err, my beloved brethren. That word err means wandering off. So he says in verse 13, God's not tempting you to sin. The devil's tempting you to sin. And every man is, or verse 13, God's not tempting you to sin. So it must be the devil tempting us to sin along with our own lust. Verse 14, he says in verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not wonder, my beloved brethren. Don't take the baits that the devil tries to cast at you. Don't wonder. It's not God tempting you to stray. It's not God tempting you to wonder. It's the devil and it's all of the evil inclinations that's within the heart and soul of man, because we are depraved. And so he says here, don't err. Don't err, my beloved brethren. And so this is a challenge to the brethren not to take the bait. Verse number 22, he says this. In verse number 22, the entire passage centers around the Word of God. Again, we are to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. He says in verse 22, be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And so when James says we are to be hearers of the Word, not hearers of the Word, or be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only, we are to put feet on our faith. We are to walk it out. Not just be a hearer, but a doer. And verse number 19, he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And what James is talking about here is, he says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. He is referring to being swift to hear God's word and not quick to speak against God's will. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Let us hear God's voice, be sure of God's voice. Don't speak against God's word. Certainly not just be a hearer of His word, but a doer. So we see that there. The man who obeys God's word will be blessed. In verse number 25 it says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And again, we're talking about being saved from the snares of temptation. Back to verse number 21. Because of temptations Christians face and the danger of erring from God, they are to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save their souls, sustain them. Sin can affect the soul or the inward part of the believer. And so we see that there must be a maintenance upon our souls. You know, I remember back in the day when my grandmother would be cooking dinner and I'd sneak into the kitchen and I'd get a piece of cake or something before dinner. And I'd love every minute of it. And she said, would say, "Son, dinner's ready." And there'd just be no desire for dinner because I snacked before dinner. I took the dessert before dinner, and I just didn't want dinner. James here in verse number 25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." And so we see in like manner that when we look into God's Word, He will show us things that need to be fixed. But if we've been snacking elsewhere, we won't be looking into that perfect law of liberty as much. We won't be receiving the engrafted Word because we've been snacking before dinner. And so, but yet when we look into the perfect law of liberty, God's Word, and we continue not forgetting, then we'll be blessed in our deeds. We will grow eventually. We will mature eventually. We will get to where God wants us to be eventually. All right, and so we see that sin can affect the soul or inward part of a believer. The other thing I wanted to say about that in the illustration of the cake, there's a lot of believers who, again, are continuing with God's Word, aren't coming to church and listening to God's Word and aren't participating, and it's because they've been snacking before dinner. So I want to make sure I made that point right. And so let us continue into God's Word, His perfect law of liberty, and let us be changed. The Bible says that Lot, who was a saved man, vexed his righteous soul by hearing and seeing the evil in Sodom and Gomorrah. We won't turn there, but in 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8, talks about that. He vexed his righteous soul. So what does the word vexed there mean? Vexed his righteous soul. It means that he troubled his righteous soul. The word vexed means to trouble or to oppress. And so by living in Sodom and Gomorrah, his soul was vexed, it was troubled, it was oppressed. And his righteous soul was vexed, troubled. There's a lot of righteous souls in our day that are troubled. There's a lot of righteous souls, saved people that are wounded, that are oppressed. And many times it's because of the influence of the world. Listen, the world is an unsafe place to be. Not just spiritually, but physically. And so if it's unsafe spiritually, then we have to gird up the loins of our mind. We have to feed our spiritual man, because Lot, we too can vex our righteous soul. There's a lot of righteous souls being vexed, being oppressed, being troubled. You know it, and I know it. We see it in the lack of church attendance. We see it and things like that. And so what ultimately happened to Lot and his family? Well, it's really a sad, tragic end, but Lot's willingness to stay in Sodom cost him dearly in the end, for he lost his wife, who looked back. You ever wonder what she was looking back at? Well, I think, in my mind, she was looking back at her home. She was looking back at her life she lived. It was in Sodom, it was in Gomorrah, but she was... And they weren't supposed to be there. It was a bad place to be, but she kept looking back, so she was turned into a pillar of salt. She liked it. She liked it. And that pillar of salt, I look at that like a monument of disgrace. A monument of disgrace. It is sad. And listen, none of us are above bringing reproach to the Lord's name. None of us are above from falling. But there are some who have become monuments of a person that once was, a person that once served, a person that was once all in, and their soul was vexed or troubled and oppressed. They drifted from God, and now they were a monument of disgrace. But not only that, and I almost don't want to say this, but it's in the Bible. But Lot's daughters plotted to commit incest with him after Sodom and Gomorrah. He lost his wife, and then that's how we get Moab, was a product of incest. We talked about Moab Sunday morning, how Elimelech and Naomi and Chilion and Mahlon went to Moab because Bethlehem had a famine. They went to Moab. Moab was one of the sons which came from an incest relationship with one of his daughters. Terrible thing. Terrible. Terrible ending to Lot's life. So how can the believer overcome the temptations of the world and Satan? The answer is through the engrafted word. The word engrafted means implanted, as to cultivate a garden. It's the perfect law of liberty. We have to look at it. And God knows I look at it. I don't look at it. I should look at it now to understand what I'm about to say. It's hard sometimes for me to look at it for me and not looking for a message. Because I preach 3 times a week and I'm always looking for a message. I read one time where Craig Edwards, in one of his books he wrote, he said he got to the place where he was trying to find messages and preach all this preaching he did. And he just got to the place where he couldn't get nothing from the Word. And he said, Lord, I'm done. I'm just going to feed me. And then the messages started flowing. And so I constantly try to separate the two. But then often I get to the place where I'm just going to feed me. And what y'all get on Sunday is an overflow of what I got. And I think that's how the Lord wants it. He wants an overflow from what I got. And so whenever I preach and teach, just know that I've dealt with it first. God has spoke to me first about it. But it's supposed to be overflow. And so I look into God's Word, and I see my life where I want to be. I see marks that I've missed, shortcomings. But also I see room for growth. I see grace to be had in order to grow. And if I continue in God's perfect law of liberty, then my deeds will be blessed. And so your deeds will be blessed as well. And so we see all of that here in the book of James, talking about, again, being saved from the snares of temptation. It's the engrafted word is what he says. Verse number 21 again, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. All right. And so, not only that, but we're saved with difficulty. We're saved with difficulty. And I want to slow the pace just for a second. And I want to mention a couple things on this point. But I want to take my time with it. 1 Peter 4:18, if you would. 1 Peter 4:18. Peter makes a statement in verse number 18. Listen to this. 1 Peter 4:18, and if the righteous, scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Well, he's talking about judgment here. Verse 17, we'll back up. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? So what is he talking about? Well, the word scarcely saved means saved with difficulty, or saved with trials, saved with suffering. So this passage has to do with God judging and punishing sin. Just because our sins are gone, doesn't mean God doesn't deal with sin, even in the life of the believer. All right? Peter says that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if God severely judges His own children, what hope is there for the unbeliever? Let me say this. There is a sin unto death. That's something also that's not preached much in the Baptist church, along with hell. Me and Miss Mary Kelly talked about that Sunday night. Hell and the sin unto death. But there is a sin unto death. You say, Brother Justin, what sin is it that you commit that God will take you prematurely? Well, I don't think it's a particular sin as it is a progression in sin. There is a sin unto death which refers to God judging a believer for continual sin. Now listen to me. Habitual sin. Planned sin. We all sin, even as believers. But we ought to be in a place as a believer where we don't plan it. We ought to be in a place as a believer where we don't wake up and look for opportunities to sin. This is a dangerous place for a believer to be. Paul deals with where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Shall we sin that grace may abound? No, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live in sin any longer? But there is a drift, a wandering from God that we can experience if we're not careful. And we can drift and we can wander and we can start to accept certain sins into our life at one time we never accepted. And so a good meter to know where you're at spiritually is, how is your personal life, your private life? Are you more accepting of different things than you once were not? Have you drifted? Have you wandered? Are you accepting of things? This world is trying to push its beliefs on us. It's trying to push its criteria upon us. What am I trying to say? All the things you see on TV, they're trying to pump it in our living rooms and through our radio stations and to our cars and alternate lifestyles and same-sex marriage and, you know, and all of this. And they're trying to get us to accept that, accept it. And I believe a lot of Christians have began to accept these things, and now their convictions have changed. Okay? Their convictions have changed. At one time they were against something, now they're not. What happened? What happened? God's not changed. So I think sometimes we change. We change sometimes. And 1 John 5:16, don't turn there, but it talks about that sin unto death. It's not a particular sin as it is, I feel like, a progression of sin. And so there is certainly things that God judges in the life of the believer, not his eternal destination, that's been solved at the cross, but our production, our lifestyle. So if there is stern judgment for those who have believed, what is the final end of those who believe not? There is no hope for the sinner. His final destination is eternal hell. And so that's what he talks about here in 1 Peter 4:18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? And so we see that we are saved with difficulty. Further explaining my point, I'll say this. Even though the child of God may face difficulty, such as God's chastisement or trials, sickness, and other forms of suffering, he will be saved. I'm not confusing anybody, am I? Okay. We are saved with difficulty. We may experience difficulty on all different facets, but we will always be saved. Our souls are saved. We are saved with difficulty. We're saved during difficulty. Again, he talks about scarcely saved. Scarcely saved in our verses tonight. Let's see. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Scarcely saved, with difficulty. And so the Bible uses a similar term called saved, yet so as by fire. Turn to 1 Corinthians 3 for a moment. 1 Corinthians 3. Saved with difficulty. Verse 11 through 15, listen to this. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire which try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So this is the believer appearing before God at the judgment seat of Christ. And it has to do with reward or loss of reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Talking about loss of reward. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So the believer's soul is still saved. He will not see the fires of hell. He is going to heaven, but there will be a loss of reward. Again, we're talking about in the bigger picture, the bigger look at this, that we're saved with difficulty, meaning we will experience difficulty, and there is even a sin unto death. But no matter what happens, our souls are saved, although we experience much difficulty. And so 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15 talks about this. And the verse I just mentioned to you, our souls will be saved, yet so by fire. In this passage, the subject is the works of the believer being judged at the judgment seat of Christ. A lot of believers will have all their works burnt in the fire. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. He will make it to heaven, but he will receive no rewards. It's all about motive and what we're doing with our time and our stewardship. Saved with difficulty. Let me mention another one briefly. Saved from physical death. In James chapter number 5, James chapter number 5, verse 19 and 20. We have a passage which speaks of a brother who gets away from God and into sin. James 5, where am I at? Verse number 19 and 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. The word err, again, means to wander and suggests the gradual moving away from God. And so he says, brethren, if any of you do err, if any of the brethren wander from the truth and one convert him, or bring him back, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide the multitudes of sins. A few things about this briefly. If we see a brother drifting from the Lord, we are to seek to restore him to God and warn him of the danger of getting out of God's will. The word convert in this passage means to turn about or turn again. Turn him back to God. Turn him back to the truth. It is our spiritual obligation to be our brother's keeper. To be our sister's keeper. So it is our spiritual obligation to try and get a brother that is going away from God to change his course of direction and return again to the Lord. Another good verse is Galatians 6:1. You can look at that later. And so when we convert a brother, When we turn a brother back to the Lord, when we're God uses us instrumentally to do that, we're saving a soul from death. This is talking about physical death and refers to the judgment of God upon one of His children. We have already seen that God judges His children and that there is a sin unto death. Again, the sin unto death is for continual and willful sin of a person that is saved. Another example of a saved person being punished for gross sin is the man mentioned in 1 Corinthians 5:5. I do want to turn there briefly, 1 Corinthians 5:5. Another bad side of humanity here in 1 Corinthians 5:5. Listen to this. First of all, in verse number 1, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles. Not even the Gentiles are doing this. That one should have his father's wife. That's bad. That would mean a son and a mother. Am I right about it? That one should have his father's wife. This isn't even going on in the Gentile world, but it was the church world. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from you. For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord, Jesus. And he goes on and explains about the church and leaven and how a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He says, verse 7, purge out therefore the old lump as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. What is he getting at here? Well, his flesh or body was to be destroyed, but his spirit would be saved. The word soul has a broad meaning and can refer to the inner part of man. Where the Holy Spirit dwells, which can never die. And so, but it can also refer to any breathing creature that has breath and thus refers to the life of the body. So this is the usage of the word soul back in James 5:20 we're just looking at. The death refers to the death of the body. Man is a triune being. He is body, soul, and spirit. The body will die and return to the dust of the earth, but the spirit will return to the Lord. And so the Corinthians were to judge this man because of his deeds. But yet his soul shall be saved. His soul shall be saved. So there is salvation from physical death. Of course, there are times when we do prematurely. There's times we can prematurely die because of a progression of sin. And I know that's getting a little on the deeper side of things, but it's something that needs to be talked about, the sin unto death, but also hell as well. All right, let me say this, and we'll be through for tonight. The body will die and return to the dust of the earth, but the spirit will return to the Lord, Ecclesiastes 12:7. When we love others, forgive, and restore them again to the Lord, we cover a multitude of sin. That's back in James. And that's where we actually started out at. With our last point, I'll just mention this to you. James 5:20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And we mentioned verse 21. We talked about verse 22, verse 23. And so we pretty much wrapped it up on that point. But when we love others, we forgive and restore them again to the Lord, we cover a multitude of sins. And what he's talking about there is saved from the error of their ways. When we can, when we influence them, when we reach them, when we restore them, we save them from a multitude of sins, from the error of their ways. They are forgiven from the past, but also the potentially stop future sins in a certain area. And so that's being saved from physical death in a nutshell. Saved with difficulty, saved from the snares of temptation. Again, that's just part two of the doctrine of salvation. And so we did our best tonight to kind of get into that a little bit. And so we good, Brother Randy? Okay. All right. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and we'll let you go home. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for all things, God. I just pray, God, that we'll just allow these things to soak in just a little bit. And I pray that we were simple in our explanations of these things. And God, we know that we are saved by the grace of God. We are saved from, dear Lord, the snares of temptation. We don't have to give in. We're saved with difficulty. We're saved from physical death, oh God. Father, our spirits will live on with you one day. Although our bodies may physically go to the ground, our souls will live on. So, Lord, we're thankful for all these things. I pray that you keep us safe as we go our separate ways tonight. Bring us back safely on Sunday morning as we try to honor fathers on Father's Day, which you are the number one Father. You are the good, good Father. We love you tonight, and we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray, with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.